This episode is brought to you by SD Sober Living. If you or someone you know needs a safe and supportive recovery home, then reach out to SD Sober Living at www.sdsoberliving.org or call 619-625-0769. That's 619-625-0769. Come get some San Diego recovery and some fuck fentanyl at SD Sober Living. All right, welcome to the very first episode of the Fuck Fentanyl podcast. I am Luis Romero. I am the Fuck Fentanyl guy. And I brought in my special guest over here, an original Fuck Fentanyl member, you could say, from my very first box. Yeah. And yeah. So this is Kylie Krings from good old East County, San Diego.
Yes.
So how are you doing, Kylie?
Great. I'm super nervous and I'm sweating, but that's not anything not normal.
Yeah. So that's fine.
I'm excited to be the first guest.
Yeah. Thank you for coming. And so I kind of wanted to make this episode a little bit of the, you know, the background of how I started Fuck Fentanyl. And I can just start with, you know, my little backstory. You know, I am a recovering heroin addict. I started heroin when I was 17 years old and, you know, it was off to the races for me. I got clean and sober at 22 years old. You know, did a little bit of jail time, some rehab stints, and I, you know, kind of just finally got it and got into the recovery. And, you know, and I started it, you know, doing, you know, the 12 steps and AA and all that. And I eventually kind of grew a little comfortable and complacent, and I wasn't really in touch with anybody besides a little, you know, social media interactions and an occasional, like, I'll go see somebody speak or take a cake. And a couple years ago, my best friend, Phil Palmer, died from an overdose. I think it's fentanyl, but I never got the paperwork. He died in Oregon, Corvallis, Oregon. So, you know, I started coming back into meetings, and that is where I met Kylie. And, you know, Kylie also was going through her own thing. She is, you know, relatively new in recovery, but, you know, she was already so beloved by a lot of people in the recovery community. And when I first saw Spider-Man's art, you know, I had him in little stickers. You know, she was really all about it and wanted to help me, you know, spread them out. And then my friend told me to make a T-shirt, and I wasn't really about it because I just had a lot of stuff going on, and I felt like that was a really time-consuming thing to do. But I was really, I really was passionate about spreading awareness, and so I just kind of gave it a shot. And I got with some of my friends, and Kylie being one of them. We all got together and pitched in, making my very first box of Fuck Fentanyl T-shirts, and just blew up from there. So, I just wanted to, you know, just kind of get a little bit of Kylie's story, because, you know, Kylie's story is an extremely powerful one that definitely motivates me to keep doing this. So, Kylie, where do you want to start with it? Do you want to start with how you kind of grew up?
Yeah. I had a really, actually really good upbringing. There wasn't anything traumatic, nothing. I mean, I have a great family still to this day. Me getting into being an addict just became, I wanted to be that party girl. I wanted to be that girl that was always just down to party, and it just kind of blew up from there. I can definitely see the red flags now when I was younger of what I was leaning it, like, going into. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, like, I started, you know, like, my gateway drug was weed. Like, yeah. I mean, like, it was mine. I can to this day say, mm-hmm, it was, you know.
How old were you when you did weed?
Oh, gosh. probably going into like high school. So probably like, you know, freshman year. So what were we, like 14 back then?
That was kind of the same for me.
You know, like not, you know, and it was just, I was just a huge stoner. And that, you know, and then I would drink at parties on the weekend or honestly just get super, you know, super wasted at parties. And then it just, as I just got older, like probably like my senior year, I started like experimenting with pills and just whatever, basically whatever I could get my hands on. I had a full ride for college, went out to Tennessee and just basically partied my ass off and ruined it. And
like an addict will.
Yeah. You know, and again, the red flag.
Yeah. But, red is your hair.
Yeah. didn't see it, you know, came home and, or basically, well, no, I got kicked out of college because of me using. And so when I came home, I got with, my first son's father and I was off to the races, you know, got real strung out on oxys and everything, like on and pills real quick. And then, you know, after what, I was like, what, like 19 then? So probably by like 22, everything changed with oxys and everything and heroin took over, you know, especially in East County, but everywhere. Heroin took over.
Oh, yeah. It was all
everywhere.
Over
it was gone, you know. And sure. So heroin took over and we, for the next, what, 6-7 years, we were strung out. And then we ended up getting raided, the whole get down, you know. Our son, I, you know, I had our son back then and he got taken from us from CPS. And then it, you know, we, I did what I had to do. I got clean, but basically like just got clean in my eyes to get my son back. Like I didn't do the whole recovery. I, you know, lied about having a sponsor. I did, you know, like did the whole manipulation to get around, you know, to finish my outpatient, to do what the courts asked me to get my son
just
back.
Just get people off your back.
Exactly. That's all I wanted to do. All my eyes were, all I needed to do in my head was get away from his dad so I could stay clean.
Yeah.
That was it. There was no other, I wasn't the issue.
He was the issue, and it was
a lot easier for me. Okay, if I'm not with him, I'm not going to keep getting high.
Exactly.
Right. And I focused on that. And I really believed that back then to this. I mean, forever, I would have always thought if I wasn't with him, I wouldn't have got high anymore. Yeah. And I lasted. I mean, I don't even know if I even really lasted like completely, maybe 9 months, like completely not doing anything. It might not even have been that. It might have been like six. that was what, like 2017 or so. And, but then it was justification. Of, I can have like a White Claw after beer. Like I did everything. I got my son back. I did the whole get down. I did everything they wanted me to do. Got him back in my custody. Had a really good job. Got a house for me and my son. You know what I mean? Like
you
I
bought
had,
your own house.
Yeah, well, no, I'm not that cool. rented like, my own, you know, but rented it. Like I was paying for it. Like no one was helping
me. Big, that's big things.
Back then I was winning in my eyes, you know? Yeah. And then it was like, oh, I can have a White Claw afterward. It's not heroin.
Yeah, right, you know? Right. You earned it.
Yeah. And then it was, everyone had like the weed pens back then too. Yeah, like it was when
they're
still around. Yeah, you know? And so it was like, everyone at my work smokes them. Again, it's not heroin. And so I would do that. So I wasn't really ever completely clean, or at least not. And basically once my case closed to get my son back, I was probably right off
to the races again.
Yeah. And then, so I was just, you know, in my head, I was still clean. And then I met my younger son's father and we were both clean at the same time.
Yes.
And we knew each other from using before.
Oh, really?
So it was kind of cool to see us both have our kids. We were clean.
Yeah. You're both doing well.
Yeah. It was super attractive to me that he had his kids in his life. He was a dad. It was super rad. And, it was just, he would go back and forth, you know, like he would stay clean for a little bit, relapse or get locked up. And then, you know, whatever it was. And then by this time, like I had the house for me and my son and he was getting out of jail one of the many times. And I was like, hey, move in.
Well, how kind of you.
Yeah. Like I was like, come move in and you'll stay clean. You know what I mean? And,
That totally works.
And it, I mean, it did. And it was great for a while. It was great. And then it wasn't.
Yeah.
You know, he relapsed again and, I just remember just like we got, you know, it was the same thing. I'd kick him out But then beg him to come back, not even like 12, maybe 24 hours later.
24 hours, if that.
Please come back. Because in my head, and I would fight with him and just say, don't get high at the house. Just don't get high here. I don't care if you go in the car, but just don't do it. And then obviously us as addicts, that didn't last. Yeah. And he just instantly started getting high, you know? And so then I remember it took me a good few months of like writing like a legit text out to him that was like novels long of paragraphs of justifying that I just wanted to try it one more time.
There you go.
I just want to see if heroin's still the same. Maybe I won't even like it anymore. Okay.
So this was heroin.
Yeah. So he was a heroin addict just like me. And I knew he was getting high. So it was like, I never knew the whole like basis of you have like the mental, emotional relapses like before. Right. Yeah. I would already pass those. Now it was just a matter of time before I was going to pick up.
Of course.
Get the balls to basically ask him to let me pick up.
pull the trigger.
Yeah. And I had that text written out in a draft on my phone for like
editing it, making sure every sentence. Few months,
like, you know, and like it just was so scared to be like, and then I remember when he was like in the bathroom and I was like, it's fine. Just send it. Like I had a whole mental talk with myself and I sent it and I was like, oh my God. This was stupid. And then like, long story short, I got high. And then, And I remember still to this day, like telling myself like, okay, I'm only going to get high on the days, like my days off.
Oh, yes.
Or the days I don't have my son when he's with his dad.
Okay, yeah.
So, you know, and that might have lasted a couple weeks. Okay. You know what I mean?
Maybe,
that could be just a stretch in my brain.
Like 8 days.
Yeah, like it was, you know, and I was like, okay. And then it went from that to I just can't get high 3 days in a row.
Yeah.
Because then I'll withdraw.
Oh,
you know,
I had that. I had that.
That whole justification. I can't do it. So I remember getting to like the second day and I was like, okay, just get high tonight. You wake up, go to work tomorrow. Don't get high.
And just don't get high that day.
Yeah. And just skip a day. And then you'll be fine.
There you go. Moderation.
And then waking up and then I'm like, I got dope left, so I might as well use it, you know? And I can still remember the first time I started feeling withdrawals again, I went, oh, I'm so fucked. You know? And I still have
my... You already knew.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, then I was super strung out again. It was just a mess for that couple years. And then... COVID happened. COVID came out and, you know, everything shut down.
Oh,
you know,
that's
like
right.
Life shut down.
Life shut down. Almost forgot about that.
Yeah, right, right. And I had to think, because I'm like, I remember because I was, that's when like Fetty or fentanyl started to come around.
Yeah, when
was
it
like
really
right
got
before,
really popular.
You know, like 2019, it was kind of starting to spot around.
Yeah.
And then I remember like right when like 2020, at the beginning of the year, like we couldn't even find heroin.
Yeah.
And like it would be hard for us to find like a couple grams. And like and my son's wife, he was already like using like a little bit of fentanyl, like, you know, and I just remember being like so scared because back then it was like it was getting found, like everyone that was doing it was finding it in like the pills, like in the M30, like you know, and it was just like
that's how
it and people were already ODing back
then. Oh yeah.
And I remember being scared, and then it came to the day that where we literally couldn't get any heroin. And so it was like, so in either way, do I get sick?
Yeah, I'm not getting sick.
Yeah, I mean. You know? And then it was like, I've never thought I would ever get more strung out on something than I did on heroin. Like never, I would never in this, like to this day ever realized that like how strung out I was on heroin, like fentanyl did a whole different thing to me. Did a whole different level of addiction. So then I was strung out on that.
Yeah.
God, and that lasted, I mean, hardcore, like strung out on it for the whole next year, basically.
Yeah. And like the withdrawals are, I heard way more severe than a typical.
Yeah. I mean, it's a whole different like get down. Cause it reminded me a lot of how like oxys and pills were back in the day.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
what it, and it was weird. Cause I remember like the first time like getting high off of it, I remembered that whole weird like body fry feeling that like pills used to like give me. And I was like, oh my God, I forgot about this. You know, like it's something, you know, went, but it's a gnarly drug. It's a whole different level of being strung out.
Yeah.
It's a whole different, I mean, I did a lot of stupid things, not good things like on heroin and stuff, but like I did a lot, 10 times worse things on fucking fentanyl. Like, it's a lot worse. Here. Yeah, leveling up, you know? And then we got raided. Our house got raided. We went to jail, you know, obviously went to jail.
Yeah.
That's when I found out I was pregnant with our son is when I got to jail.
How long were you pregnant for?
They said I was about, I think it was about 4.5 weeks, if I remember. Oh, okay. So I was super new, you know what I mean? Wow. Like, it was super.
And it didn't show at all?
Like, no, I was. I remember them saying that when I got, when I was getting in booking, like, them going, oh, like, you're positive. And I was like, for COVID?
I get my own cell.
They were like, no, no, baby is in your belly. And I was like, no.
No, no. No,
like, there's no way.
The fentanyl baby?
That's what I was like, there's no way. Like, and then I was, and then they let me out after only doing a couple months. I don't remember why.
Oh, really?
For some reason. After everything like we got
caught. Oh, like OR or bail? Yeah,
exactly. You know, I didn't, definitely didn't get bailed out. Oh.
We'll keep her in there. Yeah, keep her in there.
No
She's
one
good.
Ever bails me out. That's fine. but they let me out, and then, so by that time, I was probably, like 3 months pregnant, and I had the all intention to stay clean. Like, there mm-hmm. wasn't like the, in, you know what I mean? I remember always saying after I had my first son that I wasn't going to use again mm-hmm. being pregnant. You know what I mean? Yeah. The next time I got pregnant, it was going to be beautiful.
Yeah,
it was going to be like really, course, you know, and my son's father, he was still locked up after we got, like when I got out, he was still locked up. So I was just like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to get our light. And I think I lasted about a week and a half.
Oh, okay. short-lived again.
Yeah, you know, but I did the whole, I didn't stay away from people, places, and things.
Yeah.
I didn't. I instantly started hanging out with, like, his homeboys, like, because mm-hmm. I thought they were looking out for me because he was locked up. And
because we get that camaraderie.
And I was so used to that. Yeah. I was so used to being, like, that girl,
mm-hmm.
you know, so... Yeah, they brought dope over, so I started getting high,
you're like, okay.
You know? And then, of course, in my head, I'm like, hey, I just got to get clean before he gets out. Yeah. And then no one will ever know.
Our secret.
No one will ever know, you know? And I tried doing the whole get on Suboxone, you know, regiment, whatever you want to call
it. Yeah,
And in my head, I just always thought they were just, it was like an urban legend that you would get sick if you got high while you were on it.
Oh, like the
precipitate. Yeah. I died. It was bad. It was not. Yeah. That's definitely not an urban legend.
Yeah. No, it isn't. I've experimented one time like that.
That's what it just, I was like, they're just telling you that. So you won't. That was dumb. and you know, God likes to, like I always say, kind of screw with me in places. So like he wasn't supposed to get out till I want to say like June, and all of a sudden mm-hmm. it was like end of April, and all of a sudden I got a notification on my phone saying he was released, and I went, oh wow. You know,
also caught a break.
And I was, you know, and I, oh my, but it got bad. It was real bad. He ended up starting to use again a couple days after he got out, and then we separated, you mm-hmm. know, and I ran the streets by myself. I, you know, not proud of it, strung out, pregnant, you know, it wasn't, you know, it was a really bad time. It was really, really bad. And then, luckily, you know, the East County like police department likes mm-hmm. to just never leave me alone and find me. And I ended up thinking I could like steal a rental car and like get away with it without, you know, like they don't like have trackers on that or something.
Yeah. They totally don't.
You know, they find me, long story short, I get locked up again, which this time around was exactly what I needed. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I got locked up. I was probably about 7 months pregnant, I want to say.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Ended
baby
up,
was about to come out.
Yeah. You know, and then, and he didn't want to wait. So he came 3 weeks early, had him in jail.
I remember you telling me that experience.
Yes. That's
amazing.
A whole other story. But he was, you know, luckily I'd been locked up, so he was clean. You know, he wasn't cause talks. Like, he was super healthy. He was just 3 weeks early.
Yeah.
I had to go back to jail. And then the judge gave me an offer to go to a program It was either go to prison or go to a program.
Not a hard decision.
You know what I mean?
Make.
You know, and in my head, I'm like,
I could just do the time.
You know, like, and then I was like, how much time are we saying?
Yeah, right. If it's less than a year, I mean, I could do that.
And, but my, you know, it wasn't going to be. So yeah, I was right. You know, he was, it was just, he told me, you know, I had to go to inpatient. If I left, if I got kicked out, if it was anything, I was doing my full time, term. Yep. You know, there was no ifs, ands, or buts.
Okay.
And I was like, all right, like shoot it. Let's run it. And I remember though, like being in my cell, like just like finally like getting to that point to where you're just like, I remember laying there going just like, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
How did I get back here again?
Yeah.
How am I here again? How am I, you know, just what the fuck? I mean, honestly, like, my God. And I just remember just saying there, like, there's got to be, like, another way. Like, there's got to be another way. Like, there's no way everything I've done in my life is, like, the only way it can be done, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember sitting there, like, just praying and just going, like, okay, like, show me a different way. Like, mm-hmm. show me the way. Like, what do I got to do, you know? And I just remember making the decision that I was just going to be, I was going to do whatever anyone told me to do.
Yeah.
That was the first thing I was going to, because of course Kylie's way doesn't ever work out. Yeah, it doesn't ever work out. I end up in handcuffs and getting loaded. So I remember making, I literally remember making that decision. And like, I went to rehab,
mm-hmm.
did the whole 90, you know, did the thing, got out, went straight to sober living like they told me got into outpatient, you know.
And I just want to clarify, so you stopped using
was June 20. So my clean date is June 21st, 21. Okay. I would love to say that it was the day that I got locked up again. But it was not, because I might have had stuff with me. I would like but
may or may not
plead the fifth on thing but I would love to say that was it, but I mean that is my official clean date is June 21st of 21, so I'm a little over 2.5 years of not using, which is rad, you know. But that was the whole thing. It was just like I didn't understand like how people could go years. Like that didn't like make sense to my head, you know. I remember even sitting at rehab and like a couple girls even having like 3 months was like a long
like,
time. Like you
damn.
Know, like how did you do this? Like, you know, like,
they got that blue chip. Like
what is that? But everything was going super good. Like I remember, like even my son's father, like they gave him the basically the same kind of deal. To go to crash, like do, you know, do a program.
A very intense behavior modification program.
Which I remember going, oh, shit. There's no way. There's no way he's going to do it. You know, like, love him, but.
Yeah.
But he did. And like, he did it. Like I went to my rehab, did it. And I got out, you know, what would that have been? Whatever year that was now, November. And then he got out, like, he was like almost like a month behind me. So like he got out like right before Christmas and I was already out sober living and, everything was really good. Like when we would talk, cause I mean, he was at a program, I was at mine. So it's not like we could talk. But he sounded really good.
Shooting kites to each other.
You know, doing, but he was sounded really great. Everything was gone. I was like, cool. Like we're going to do this.
Nice.
And I put the whole fairy tale in my head of,
oh yeah, it's a fairy tale.
You know, we're both gonna get clean. We're gonna get our son back. Yeah. We're gonna da 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 da. You know, and I did, like I said, I did everything that everyone told me to do. So it was like, go to rehab, go to sober living, get into outpatient. I did all those, and then, I remember going with a few friends, and we went over to like a Friendsgiving at of our friend's houses that are like we're friends with, all of us are friends with now, and I was tripping. Like, I was like, why the hell am I going to go somewhere I don't know anyone?
Right.
You know, and it was a couple of the girls, like me and like three of the girls that we were at rehab with, I was at rehab with, we all happened to get out of rehab at the same time. So we all went and that's where I met my sponsor and all these women and men that have multiple years clean, which was like insane in my brain. But it was exactly where I needed to be at that time.
Oh, for sure.
Because I met this whole group of people that were
like a little tribe,
a whole tribe, you know? And there was a and then I remember like getting like, cause I remember telling myself like, hey, I'm not going to lie about having a sponsor this time. And I couldn't even get the, like, I couldn't even get like the balls basically to call my sponsor and ask her to
really
be mine.
Originally?
No, hell no. That was so awkward to me. Like, and so I remember I like texted her, like say,
I got a few of those.
I was like, hey, like, you Hi. Know, I don't know like really what to do, but like, I didn't know if you're sponsoring people, like, you know, and, obviously she said like, yes. And we did, you know, and she's, you know, been my sponsor since then. And then life likes to just happen.
Yeah. No, that's awesome.
Everything was going good. And then my son's father got out of crash and it was January 2nd. And so right after Christmas.
And 2022.
Yeah. 22. And he, and a sad thing is like, I knew it. Like I knew it. I tried calling him on it too. Like I just know him so well too. So like, I know like he did the whole, just like always said, or like the mental, like I could already hear it in his voice that he was relapsing.
Yeah.
He just hadn't had the opportunity to pick up yet.
Yeah.
You know? And I tried talking to him about it. I tried like just saying like, hey, let's try going to meetings. Yeah, like, you know, you don't even have to go with me.
Yeah.
Just, just go.
Just go.
Just go. You know? And he was just like, well, you know, I don't do meetings. I was like, yeah. And I remember literally you saying this and like, either did I, but like, maybe this is the different thing we got to do this time.
Of course.
You know? And, you know, and I just knew it. I just felt it. And then his mom was calling me that morning. And which was all, I was like, oh, and I, like, as soon as I heard, I already knew it, you know, and oh gosh. And that, you know, to hear like she, you know, they found him and he OD'd and I was just like, God, it just shattered me.
Yeah.
Shattered me beyond belief, you know? And, but luckily I had so many people surrounded me that, and every thought of me wanted to go get high. As soon as I heard it, there was, I'm not even going to lie, there wasn't any other thought that I wanted to do.
I don't want to feel this anymore.
Going to go get high. That's all I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And I would love to say that, like, I thought about my kid, you know what I mean? Like, I love my kids. I love my boys. But as soon as hearing that, all I wanted to do was run out the door.
Yeah.
And say, fuck this.
Yeah.
And go get high.
Check out.
I didn't even care. I didn't even care. That it, the sad thing is I didn't even think that he just died. That it would probably be happening to me.
Yeah.
But that was my first thought.
Yeah.
And it was really hard to get away from that. And my sponsor was so amazing. She came and grabbed me and
just won't let you go. Yeah,
it wouldn't let me go. And like all the women that were, you know, part of her tribe that, you know, surrounded me, basically adopted me. Didn't let me go even if I wanted to.
I got to witness some of this.
Yeah, yes. You know, and that night when the day he died, she took me to the Heroin Anonymous meeting.
Oh,
that was that first night. And somehow somehow she made them call on me to share. I don't even know if words came out of me. I just remember just like the whining of just nonstop. I don't even know what it was that came out, but she had me go to a meeting every day and share what was ever on my brain. If it was anger, if it was sadness, if it was me wanting to get high, it was whatever it was. And I did that for months. And then I felt like when I started to try to be okay again, one of my best friends, Summer, went and did the same thing. She went no deed and she was clean. She was at rehab with me. She was at my sober living with me. We used to run the streets together.
Wow. How long have you known Summer?
Oh, God. I probably met her when I was like in my
20s.
Oh, wow. County. We just, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Small using circle.
Small, exactly. Right.
But we just happened to literally be at rehab at the same time.
Yeah, and be clean.
We were pregnant at the same time. Wow. You know, she had a baby, her son, literally 4 months after I had son. So, like, we were going through the same things at the same time. Yeah.
So, in a way, it's like you guys kind of, like, mirrored off each other.
And, like, it was rad because she was, like, following everything I was doing. You know what I mean? She got that. They even let her keep her son. CPS didn't take her son.
That's awesome.
You know, so she got to have him at our sober living, which was rad. And I got to, it helped me in the sense of like, because I couldn't have my son with me yet. Like I was like still learning how to be a mom, you know what I mean? And same thing. She couldn't get away from her dude. And she went and did the same thing, went and used one time and OD'd. Yeah. And it was just, I felt like it was just like almost every month. Back, it was like every month somebody like everyone knew was going, and it was just like I couldn't catch a break.
Yeah, I know. You're a little bit like the Grim Reaper.
Yeah, that's what, like I felt like anyone who was close to me was just dying, and like I didn't, you know, and but I mean, like I can honestly say, like recovery wise, like it's made me so much stronger.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, like. I remember a few people telling me like some addicts have to die for some of us to live. And I remember the first time I heard that, it pissed me off.
Yeah. I didn't like that one.
I remember the first person who told me that, I literally wanted to sock her in the face as soon as she said it to me. Cause I was like, how dare you say that?
Yeah.
I get it in a sense of what it means.
Yeah.
So like, well, us doing like the fuck fentanyl, like brand and everything, like I take it as like, we're their voices.
Yeah.
You know? Too. So like when I hear that saying now, like, they had to die for us to be able to like bring awareness to hopefully save even one person's life.
Yeah.
You know, so like us being their voices for your friend, Phil, for Patrick, for some, you know what I mean? The list of everyone on the backs of our names of the shirts, you know, like that's that little bit, you know, even if it saves one person's life.
Right.
You know, and that's when like everyone's always asked, like, you know, I'm so open about my story this time. I never used to be. I used to be very closed off and would deny stuff to the end of the day. Yeah. This time around, I feel like sharing all of my experience and everything that I've gone through.
Mm-hmm.
And my hope is like somebody does actually listen and can like actually like go like, shit, like if she could make it through all of this, I can too.
Yeah.
You know, I love doing the fuck fentanyl stuff with you. I've always done it. It's always been, you know, how passionate it is to me. As first of all, as a fentanyl addict, but as
that was our guest.
Yeah. As a recovering fentanyl addict and losing so many of people I love to this drug, you know, and just seeing just like just it's just crazy to just see it just is nonstop taking up, you know what I mean? And I really hope one day that it changes, you know, and I don't know if it's ever going to, you know,
well,
and I really hope it does, obviously, but like, I got to really hold on. And like, I feel like us doing it too is always a reminder too. Like the shirts with all the names on the back, heartbreaking. Yeah. It's freaking heartbreaking. It was a
hard one to make.
Yeah. It's heartbreaking. Then it's like, and then I look at it like, in which I tell even anyone who asked me about like why I was saying, I was like, I have to hold on to that fear to know that if I go use one more time right now, first of all, I'm a fentanyl addict, so I'm going to go right back to it. I'm not going to try to justify and go drink.
No white claw.
What I mean? That's going to go in my head. If I go back out to use, I'm going to plan on not coming back because I know me. And like I said, this drug does a whole different hold on you than anything else. So like, I have to really hold on to that fear to where my kids deserve their mom.
Mm-hmm.
My family deserves me to be who they've starting to gain and trust and have, you know, the sister, the daughter. I've been a real shitty person for a lot of years, you know, and to be able to like not like be who I am today, I had to go through these tragedies and had to go through all of this stuff to get where I'm at today. And I truly believe that.
Yeah.
And I didn't for a long time. I used to just think God hated me.
Mm-hmm.
My higher power must have something out for me because I've been such a shitty person that you're going to make my life a living hell.
Living hell forever.
You know? But I can see now, like, doing, like, the steps, doing, you know, working as, like, as hard as I have to get where I'm at, there's a reason everything happens. Right? 100% I can believe that. Does it suck? Yes, sometimes. Does it suck? Yes. Yeah. Do I wish that my son's father was still here? Every day.
Yeah.
Every day. But there's something I had to gain from that. Like from him dying helped me become a stronger person, which is not supposed to sound like messed up. That's not, but it's like the way I had to go through the grief and the grief of losing people to be who I am, to like sit here. You couldn't have asked me 2.5 years ago to come on a podcast.
You know, I don't know. I about think my I'm drug clever.
Addiction.
I think I could do it. I could have done it.
You're pretty persuasive. But I mean, but there's reasons for everything. And I really honestly, truly believe that to the end of the day, I really believe everything happens for a reason. There's something to learn from everything that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because of running an actual program, being in recovery, working the steps, having a smile, all that stuff that everyone tells you to do actually works.
Yeah.
I would have never believed that ever, you know, before. So like to actually sit here and actually be able to say that, like, I'm a house manager at a sober living. I have both of my kids back in my life, you know?
My God, you did so much.
For think of 2 years ago when you met me.
You know, at the shop, you know.
You know, and I mean, but everything, like working at the Serenity shop was a stepping stone to help me be stronger in my recovery, be around it when I needed to be.
Right.
So like, you know what I mean? And it's to be able to kind of see like the full circle, like being able to be somewhere to like help other women who are coming into recovery. And like, I see so much of how I was in like first few months, first 6 months of recovery in them and to be like, and they come to me for advice. And of course my head tells me like, why the hell are they coming to me? Do they not know who I am?
Get away.
But it's like, it's that full circle of like what everyone's always said, like you put in work, like you see it happen.
Yeah.
You know, I'm super, super grateful and like to be able to sit here, my clean time's not even that much. I mean, it's a lot obviously for an addict, but like I to still think of like friends that have like 10 years, you know,
me?
Like somebody,
are you talking about me?
Yeah, you know, 10 years, like that's like a lifetime in my head, you know? I try to like tell people to not like focus on the days because that's what I had to stop doing. Like it was really cool to hit milestones, but once I stopped like legit like worrying about, then they just started coming, you know, like, and it's just the blessings in recovery are just amazing.
And can I tell you one thing though? You know, when I first would hear you share at you know, HA or in whatever, an NA meeting, I was just coming right back. And my first thing, when I went into these meetings is I'm just going to listen. I'm not going to say shit. I'm not going to pretend I know shit. And I'm just going to listen. And when I would hear you share, you know, you had such like these raw emotions. But I just truly admired how much courage you had. And it really, like, you know, it lit a fire in me because I just felt like, God, you know, I had like, maybe what, 9 years, and I just felt like such a coward for using the program and just kind of, you know, just trying to be, you know, just keeping to myself. And, you know, seeing you, you know, share and seeing you like, you know, wanting to, you know, raise awareness and, you know, being active in your recovery, it helped me a lot.
Oh, you're not gonna cry right now. It's fine.
You know, but it's the truth. It's 100% the truth. And when you were working at the shop, you know, that's kind of how Fuck Fentanyl really just kind of exploded in East County, particularly. Like it you know, I thought I was gonna make a box or two, and you know,
just blew up.
Yeah, and I'm going to the shop every week with new stuff, and it wasn't. And I kind of really appreciated the owner for letting me do that, Carrie. You know, because she kind of got a little shit on for the profanity.
Yeah.
And you know, she still, you know, let me do it, you know, first on the low.
Yeah.
And then it got to the point where, you know, the shop kind of got recognized for having the clothing brand.
Well, I think a lot of people looked at it too as you were doing it. We were doing it as like to get money out of it. And like, when I would explain it to them as like where we were both coming from.
Yeah.
We both lost people to this disease. You know what I mean? Like, it was just what they didn't understand, like where we were coming at from it, you know?
Yeah. And I totally get that.
You know? So it's like, once people started to realize that, and then they was like, oh, so, like, I mean, don't get me wrong. It was Fuck Fentanyl. It's a brand. You know what I mean? There's not, you know,
but for sure.
They literally, once they started seeing the meaning behind it and really hearing like, there's been many debates I've had with people and arguments over defending this. You know what I mean? Like, and I will defend it to the end of this day because you got me fucked up thinking you're going to talk shit about something if you don't know the whole truth.
Yeah. And you know, exactly. People just like to, you know,
run their, you know, which is fine. It's going to happen. It'll always happen. And like, we know where it came from.
Yeah.
And I had to learn that too, because I'd be super defensive when people would try to say crap about yeah. it, you know?
Yeah, and you know, and it's just with anything. Even yeah, with 100%. Even with NA, people will shit on it.
Always.
Like, oh, they're so judgmental, they're so terrible right. and toxic. And it's like right. have you ever actually done it? Have yeah. you actually ever
tried it? Have you ever seen mm-hmm. like what goes on, you know?
You know. And you know, maybe some people have and didn't like it, and that's yeah. cool. But you know, it's just, you know, people will, you know, we'll find reasons to right. not like something.
I can still remember at that punk rock show, you having the stickers. Yeah. And I was just like, dude, these are sick.
Yeah. Like, I know. I wasn't expecting the reactions.
And
like
I was like,
yeah.
let's make a tank top. Let's make yeah, a shirt. Yeah. Let's do this.
Hoodie? We'll do yeah. hoodies.
I was like, I'll be the face of it. Just
I'll make a beanie. And we've done all sorts of stuff,
everything.
Man.
Yeah, everything. And I mean, gosh, I feel like my closet is like half full of
my stuff.
Everything. Dude, I love it, and I love being able to always be a part of it with you.
Yeah.
And you know that.
Absolutely.
I love being able to share my story, spread awareness. I love
yeah.
being able to be those voices for the people we lost.
Yeah.
That's like fuck my yeah. biggest thing, you know? It's a rad thing to. It sucks that we had to go through these tragedies, but like, uh-huh. like the positive out of it is maybe we can save somebody's life.
Yeah. And that's you know? Why I'm doing this, right. you know, like I know I'm tackling on a very, hard subject matter, you right. know what I mean? And, but you know, when I talk to people, you know, especially like in person or even if it's DM in my closed Instagram, it's just like so many people get like closure and so many people,
yeah.
like feel so, you know, positive and like encouraged to, you know, like let their loved one's voice that, mm-hmm. you know, be spoken finally.
Because I feel like a lot of people too, that they've, especially if they're not like addicts or their yeah. family's not addicts.
It's harder.
You know, it's harder for them to be like, understand that it's okay to like talk about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In a sense, like I've had people write me and be like, oh my gosh, like you telling your story, whatever it is. But you know, mm-hmm. I think it opens up the door to let people really be able to honor
yeah.
their loved ones. Obviously this is a huge, fentanyl's a huge thing in our country right now.
Absolutely.
We all know that, you know, yeah. to be able to like give people closure and give them that space to,
yeah. that's why I do
you
it.
Know, and that's why that's, and I love that. And I will always be supportive of it.
Yeah.
You know,
thank you. I appreciate everything you've done for me. Like, you know, any time, like, I'll do anything. Kylie's the first one I'll hit up.
Got it.
You know, and when we had that 1 year party, you know, I yeah. was like, Kylie has to speak. And then that was actually harder than getting her on this podcast. But
I was,
you know,
tripping.
But she was so great. And so many people, you know, came up to me and like, oh my God, her story is so amazing. And, you know, definitely more than just one person.
Yeah. I mean, I've had so many. I mean, especially being honest about me using when I was pregnant.
Yeah.
And that's a hard thing. And I know people look at me, you know what I mean? Because of it. But it's a way of me to be able to heal through it too, is to mm-hmm. be honest about it. And after that, when I spoke to him at the beach, I probably had 4 or 5 girls come up to me
yeah.
and literally say, thank you for being honest about it.
Yeah.
I used when I was pregnant too. And yeah. I thought I was the only one.
Yeah.
You know? And so like to be able to, that's why I like being so open.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an open book. Like yeah. when you ask me, is there anything we can't talk about? You know what I mean?
Just aware of the statute of limitations.
But I'm not ashamed of it. Do I still deal with a little bit of guilt and shame from
yeah.
it? Obviously. And that's what the steps are from, you yeah. know, or for to go through.
Of course.
But every time I share about it and get it out like this, it takes the power out of it a little bit more, you okay. know? And I love that. And I love being able to help somebody
yeah.
to realize they're not alone.
Yeah.
Because like I've always said, like I've never been alone since mm-hmm. the day I got out of, you know, even at Rhea, you know what I mean? Like that if yeah. you really open yourself to have a like a legit support system and have a tribe, people that you
yeah.
mesh with, whatever yeah. it is, you can make it.
Absolutely.
You just got to be open to it, you know?
Absolutely. And you know, another thing too is like, there, you know, there is two sides to this, and I just kind of wanted to make it, kind of point it out on this, is that, you know, there is, you know, people like me and Kylie, you know, we are opiate addicts. We've seen, you know, the escalation of the opiate crisis, and now it's on the fentanyl.
Yeah.
And then there are, you know, people who literally like are just experimenting, and you know,
it just happens to be into it.
And yeah. And that's the side that I'm hearing a lot of since starting, you know, because I wasn't, you know, really very informed of it. I just, you know, would know, oh, one of my homies that did heroin died, and you know, because he did fentanyl.
Or they're a straight, they're a tweaker, you know, they do speed, and then they OD'd, and they had fentanyl in their system, you know.
Yeah, like, and it's just sad, you know, that, you know, because the powers to be that make money off fentanyl is just willing to, you know, like, sacrifice, you know, kids or maybe even just some adults just that are just experimenting, you know, because whatever they're going through, peer pressure, or they're going through something in their life, and they had to pay with their life.
Right.
You know, and that's what I also, you know, wanted just to, you know, to bring up is that, you know, a lot of people who lost their family member under those circumstances, you know, can come up to me and feel a part of this.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, it's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
And it's hard for me sometimes, you know, like to bring that up because, you know, it's so personal, but, you know, it does truly like make me feel like, you know, obviously this isn't my recovery. I have to run my program and then do this on top of this, but it brings a little spiritual fulfillment.
Right.
You know, when like, you know, a mother or a brother or maybe someone that lost their loved one goes, yeah, you know, I'm not an addict, but I lost somebody.
And it's rad to see the people that, by doing this, have the courage to come up.
Yeah.
Or it gives them that little bit of courage to be able to like be honest and be, you know, I love seeing that when we did the 1 year thing, like to see how many people, you know what I mean?
All that walks of life.
Yeah. You know, that aren't our group of, you know, to see it just come from everywhere was just amazing and beautiful and just rad. And just to see that, like, is, you know, something that like, you started as a sticker, you know what I mean? Has blown up into like legit awareness though.
Yeah, no, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that's the, you know, with a small idea turned into this into amazing, this beautiful thing.
Exactly.
You know, you doing this, I hope you've always known. I hope I will always be able to tell you that how grateful I am because you've helped me be able to be stronger with me, like with my recovery, with being able to be a voice, you know, I love being able to stand up there with you and do this. And you know what I mean? Like I will never be able to tell you how much it's helped me and how much I appreciate it.
Thank you.
It's done so many more good things than I could ever explain.
That's awesome. I mean, I appreciate you, you know, coming along for the ride since the very beginning. You know, I definitely, you know, want to have Kylie on more podcasts in the future. Maybe we can get this one.
And this one that's lying on the couch.
Yeah, lying on the couch.
Hey, now she's flicking us off. Perfect.
Now she's flicking us off.
For life. She had her sweats on.
But yeah, I, you know, and, you know, I guess I'll just want to bring this up one more, you know, is that, you know, I do a lot of, you know, fun little photo shoots, you know, I'd either get me and some of my buddies or, you know, or some of my homegirls, you know, to model for me. And it's fun. But, you know, one of the things that really touched me on was when we went to Patrick's gravesite.
Yeah.
That one was just like so surreal and like so powerful. I was lost at words the entire time. I was just like, whoa.
That photo shoot obviously meant more to me than, you know, but I was so honored to do it there. And so was his family.
Yeah.
I mean,
and they're very nice to reach out to me.
They awesome. Love everything you've done. Yeah. We've done, they were so everything we've done. They know where our heart's at.
Yeah.
And that's all I've ever wanted is because I love his family. And they're like, you know, they're my family always, but you know, they're a huge part of where I'm at today. You know, the reason I'm where I'm at today, you know? And so to be able to like have that experience at the graves at the cemetery was unreal.
you know what I mean?
It was unreal. But I was really, it was really cool. It was super emotional, but it was another way to, first of all, get awareness, but it was another way to like let him have his voice. You know?
And that's why I particularly liked that shoot. It was just this was just for him.
Yeah.
And I just like, it was so powerful. And I just really appreciated, getting you and the girls and Ro to take photos. You know, it was amazing.
Yeah. It was. Yeah.
Yeah, it was. And man, you know, like I said, like this thing went beyond what I ever imagined. I'm so grateful that I, got to be in multiple people's platforms, talking about my brand. And I'm so grateful, when people, will just see me and they get all excited and they go, oh, hey, man.
Yep.
You know, it's really like, it's a real blessing. I never thought I'd see coming in a million years. You know, I fucking love my best friend, like more than anything, man. And like nothing will ever bring him back. You know, I know he was an amazing human, but he was also a doomed person. And that's just how us addicts roll. And only a few of us really make it.
Yep.
But, like doing this, I can honestly say though, it's just, like I could just give it all to him. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm just like, dude, this is for you, man. Like I know like I'm the fuck Bentonol guy, but I know he really is.
Right.
To me,
right.
You know what I mean? And I'm just super, super grateful that you were able to come here and really excited of taking some more photos later on. always got so much thing going on. But again, thank you so much, Kylie.
Of course. Thank you for letting me be the first guest.
Yeah. Number one, starting it out strong.
Yes.
And then we're going to get Summer on here. Yes, I finally give her a shout out. All right. Thank you, everyone that tuned in, and I hoping to have this on all major platforms. And again, I couldn't do this without everyone that came in support. Either you bought a T-shirt or you just like came and would be messaging me or what I mean. Like it means so much to me, and I love every single one of you. I really do. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks.